Christ. Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Now, Nahash the Ammonite came up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." But Nahash the Ammonite said to them, I will make it with you on this condition, that I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you. Thus, I will make it a reproach in all Israel." And the elders of Jabesh said to him, "Let us alone for 7 days, that we may send messengers throughout the territory of Israel. Then if there is no one to deliver us, we will come out to you." Then the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and spoke these words in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now behold, Saul was coming from the field behind the oxen. And he said, "What is the matter with the people that they weep?" So they related to him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. And he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to this oxen." Then the dread of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out as one man. And he numbered them in Bezek, and the sons of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And he said to the messengers who had come, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, 'Tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have deliverance.'" So the messengers went and told the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Then the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do to us whatever seems good to you." And it happened the next morning that Saul put the people in three companies. They came to the midst of the camp in the morning watch and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came about that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he that said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man should be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished deliverance in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they offered sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Amen. If you remember when the Israelites asked for a king, a lot of it was because of the impending arrival of the Ammonites. If you remember going all the way back in Judges, Jephthah had conquered the Ammonites. And so that territory was taken care of. It was actually 90 years that there was relative, I don't know necessarily peace, but there was no threat from the Ammonites. Now, Nahash, interestingly enough, his name is translated, actually his name means serpent. And so you get an idea that this was more than just an individual. This was a demonic assignment over Israel. But it's one of these really cool things where the enemy caused it for evil, but God turned it into good. And this becomes the solidifying event that actually sets up Saul in his kingdom. And so you think about the Israelites. So they demand a king. They say, "We want a king. We want a king like everyone else. We want a king so the king could go out and fight for us." That was typical. A king had a big army, had a lot of resources. And so they said, so the king needs to go out and take care of business for us. And then Samuel delivers them a king, and they don't even want him. I mean, this is the fickleness of Israel. This has been really their problem along. They said, "We want a king. We want someone to rule. We want someone to fight for us." Now we get the first incidents, or really the reason why they asked for the king in the first place, is the Ammonites. They come upon these men of Jabesh-Gilead, and next thing you know, they don't even appeal to the king. In fact, they appeal to Nahash, and they say, "Let's make a covenant." In other words, let's have peace together. And Nahash, being a really ornery, evil man, he says, "Okay, let's do this, but this is a one condition. I'm going to gouge out the right eye of every Israelite." And this was actually very common practice in the ancient Near East. And what it meant was that not only was it humiliating, to gouge out your eye. So that's one part. But the second part is they became unuseful for war. because you only had one eye, the death perception is not there, and so you actually couldn't fight. And so it was a really, if you think about it, pretty ingenious strategy, right? So you cut their eyes out, and you also cut out their spirit at the same time. And so they were unuseful for war, so now they were not a threat to you anymore, or at least these men, and you humiliated them. And that's really what it was about. And so these guys, again, I mean, just think about the hypocrisy or just the stupidness. They asked for a king because of the Ammonites. The Ammonites come, so Saul or Samuel, with great trepidation and great reluctance, brings them a king, Saul. And when the Ammonites come and attack now, they actually don't even appeal to the king anymore. In fact, they appeal to their enemy. It's real. I mean, you think about it, it's totally messed up. Like, what are these guys thinking? And so they obviously, the plan that Nahash has is unsatisfactory. They're like, all right, give us 7 days. We're going to talk about it. And that allows 7 days. 7 days was basically the time that you can actually go around the kingdom. The kingdom at this time was actually quite small. If you look on a map, they're all kind of, if you look at Mizpah, Jabesh Gilead was kind of up to the north, in between Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, so it's kind of upwards a little bit. But everyone else, most of the Israelites were kind of centered down towards right above the Dead Sea. And so 7 days was enough to go around Israel during that time. And so he says, give us 7 days. And so they're going to basically call the troops together. So they go out, they call the troops, and next thing you know, they come out, and notice they go to Gibeah. Now, Gibeah is the hometown of Saul. So they go to Gibeah. Notice this. They don't appeal to Saul, who's their king. They appeal to the people of Gibeah. Saul's not even there. And so, I mean, this is like another slap in the face, you know, for Saul. It's like you are installed as the king, but you have really no rulership over us. And so they go to the people, and the people hear this, and, you know, remember, they're still countrymen, and they start weeping. Saul comes in from the field, and he hears this crying. He says, hey, what's going on? And he hears that what these Ammonites, Nahash, is obviously, now that he's a king, this is a slight unto his rulership. What? You're going to do that in my kingdom? Forget this. And so he takes the oxen, he cuts it up, and it's so dramatic. He sends it all over Israel, and basically says, if you don't come out to war, we're going to basically destroy you. And so 300,000 come out. They when it says before the sun is hot, that's noon. The noon's the hottest time of the day. So from morning until noon, you only have a few hours. That's how quickly they defeated the Ammonites. And it says they defeated them so well that no two men were standing together. I mean, they were totally scattered about. They come to this place, and you know, it's kind of an amazing thing happens. The people said to Samuel, who are those ones? Remember the chapter before, the sons of Belial? Who are those ones that said, will Saul rule over us? He says, let's bring them out. Let's kill them right now. And so Saul's leadership is consolidated here at this war. It took a great battle. It took a military struggle for him to gain the approval of the people. Now, interesting enough, those same people will be the ones that complain about him when he doesn't deliver. And thus goes back to the fickleness of Israel. Israel is just like us. Whenever things are going good, we're like, yes, God is our king. Lord, you're our Lord. And as soon as things go bad, Lord, you're not my God. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm just going to take care of my own business, and so on and so forth. And you can see the fickleness of Israel also relate in the fickleness of our own lives. You know, how many of us, when things get tough, that we turn our backs on God? In this regard, you know, they turn their back, or they will turn their back on their king. But now that the king delivered for them, they're okay with it. They're like, okay, yeah, you're our king. But the moment that Saul doesn't deliver anymore, they're gonna turn on him. And thus, you know, very similarly to what we do with the Father, unfortunately, in our own lives. But Saul just seems to have such an incredible kind of an idea of what's going on, the historicalness of that day. And he says, no, no one's going to die today. Today is a day for celebration. Today, the Lord delivered them into our hands. And you can see, well, Saul started out pretty good. Also note that it's because of verse 6. He says, then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. And he began to move in that way. The Spirit of God comes upon us. You know, there's actually been a lot of times in history where people have looked at injustice. People have seen injustice in the world, and the Spirit of God has come upon them, and they've acted. And many, many incredible things happen. I could think of, forgetting the guy's name, Robert Pierce, the guy that started World Vision. And he was actually in Korea and after the Korean War, and just saw incredible devastation and saw all these kids, these little kids, orphan kids, running around naked, you know, into the fields and, you know, in the midst of rubble. And this Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and just this anger at this injustice. And if you remember, he says, one of the most powerful prayers in our modern times, he said, Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart. And he just connected with the injustice, and he connected with God's heart. And as the Spirit of the Lord, and then that's how World Vision started. And, World Vision has a special place in my heart, because, I have for years, sponsored kids in our youth groups back in the days as well. But my cousin works for World Vision right now. And she basically travels around the world to the most conflicted areas and tries to negotiate and bring aid into those places. She's been to Afghanistan. Just some of the craziest countries, and he's really proud of the work that she's doing in that regard. But it starts like that. God comes, and we see injustice, and it's not the anger of man. Remember, the Bible tells us the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, but it's the righteousness of God that stirs the anger in us to see injustice, and that's really the work of the Holy Spirit. I talked about this yesterday when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. The Spirit, this is the need for us to be empowered and be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. The Holy Spirit allows us to step into a space in God that totally transforms us and allows us to operate in a way that we cannot operate in our own strength. That's why we need the Holy Spirit every day in our life. We don't want to live our life on our own strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. He tells the prophet Zechariah. And so it's important for us to recognize that. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Saul, and he moves mightily. He's burned with the anger, righteous anger. It's okay to have righteous anger. I hope that if you see an abused child, I hope there's righteous anger that resides in you. Back in the days, they used to show in the United States, videos of starving children in Ethiopia. I hope that righteous anger begin to stir our hearts in this way. Or we see, the refugee crisis and kids washed up on shores. I hope that there's a bit of righteous anger that stirs up in our hearts, over the injustices that happen in this way. And the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he does this amazing work. So they go now to Gilgal. They said they're going to renew the kingdom there. In other words, now everyone gets on board to install Saul as the king. And so they make offerings, and they rejoice before the Lord in this place. And I'm really a great tribute to Saul and really the establishing of his kingdom after a victory. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. How in our lives are we like the Israelites? When everything is going well, praise the Lord. When it's not going well, complaining, turning our back. Next thing you know, he's not king. Let's deal with the fickleness of our hearts and our lives. Ask Holy Spirit to move in us.
The floor lights are not on. It should be on. Oh, okay.
Well, let's pray as Ricky leads us in a song. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we be consistent. Let's pray that we would not be fickle. Let's pray that even when it's good or when it's bad, that God is still our King. Let's not treat our father like the Israelites treated Saul. Now let the Holy Spirit speak to us about the condition of our heart in good times and in bad times, in difficult, trying times. Well, let's pray. Let's pray over our community that are battling with cancer. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for those that are going through therapies as well. And let's pray for God's love and His power to just really minister to them and to their families and remove their diseases. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China today. Let's pray that God would continue to breathe His spirit over this nation. Pray for the leaders of the country that they would rule righteously. Pray for our church there, SP Beijing. Thank God for the new premises and their growth. Pray for protection over the church. Lift up Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and Baby and the board members, that they would really be used to lead the church in a way that that blesses China, in a way that really brings glory to the Lord. Let's pray for our friends ministering inside the country. Let's pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark. And let's lift up the churches, the government churches, the underground churches, the ethnic churches, international churches. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to use pulpits all over China to preach the gospel. Let's lift up the board. Oh, let's pray for each of the members, that God would just continue to use them, that God would bless their families and protect them, the kids and the spouses, and Holy Spirit would just equip each member as they lead our church. Let's pray. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Pray for our men's ministry, our Monday morning prayer, the Pure Desire group, and men's fraternity. Pray for the women's ministry, also their morning prayer and their discipleship class. Pray for Yahweh. Ask Pastor Kent, Lord, to continue to touch him and use him. Pray for Springs, the Love After Marriage course. That's they have a long weekend this weekend. And pray for just the Holy Spirit to encounter each couple during our class. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Let's pray for Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Fontana Island, and New Conduit. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to encounter each one of the members and ask the Lord to anoint the leaders and the hosts. And there'll be a real significant ministry happening tonight. Lastly, let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray that God will continue to empower our speakers and just cover our logistics, the bus rides, and cover our church. No one would get sick, especially the children, that everyone's work schedules would work out. And more than that, that people would just make a commitment to come. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. And so just ask God that he would just really pour himself out over us during that time. Pray also for the prayer meeting this Friday, that we would just really intercede God's heart in during our prayers. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word this morning, God. Lord, we see our own fickleness, Lord, as we read the story, God. Lord, the Israelites demanded a king, Lord. They rejected you as king, Lord. And God, but their heart was for themselves to be their own kings, God. Even when they had a king, they didn't run to him when trouble came, Lord. And we see that in our own lives as well. We see, God, our desire for ourselves, God. We would install ourselves as kings, Lord. And so we repent, God. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. And we submit, God, to the rulership, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we just want to come under submission to the King of all kings, God. And so would you help us, Lord? God, help us to give the King of all kings all the glory that he deserves today in everything that we do and everything we say. We love you, Lord. Just watch over us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.